you ever been, but
I visualize. I saw one recently, so it's in my mind. It's fresh in my mind. There was a groundbreaking ceremony at a Chabad in Florida that I was I was there recently, and it's a very cool scene when you have a groundbreaking ceremony. You have there's not really anything there. There's just maybe a mound of dirt, maybe just an empty plot of land. But they put these they get shovels from Home Depot. They put a bunch of shovels. They put it on the ground over there, and the hard hats, the construction hats, and all the big donors. The rabbi puts on a hard hat and he holds a shovel, and they take pictures with all the big donors, all the fancy people, with the hard hats, with the shovels at the groundbreaking ceremony. It's a very exciting thing because you're about to start a new major project, new construction project, but it's not construction only in Gashmius, it's a major construction in Ruchnius, when you have a real groundbreaking for something, for a yeshiva, for a shul. So this was the original one. This week is the original one. The first groundbreaking project of Klal Yisrael. They all got together, and they're about to start the Avodah. The Avodah is a Mishkan. It's very exciting. People think Vayakel is very boring parsha. It's the most exciting parsha. We finally got to the peak. We were at Har Sinai, we went out of Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, and now we're at the place to create a Malkum in this world, a place in this world. Hashem is going to spend time with Klal Yisrael. Very personal. A very real experience that the Ribbono Shalom is going to dwell among us. And this is the groundbreaking ceremony. So some people think it's very boring. You read all the amounts, all the different things that they brought, that they made. Very boring. This is very exciting. It's a very exciting storyline. And you read the reaction or the attitude that Klal Yisrael had. And it's extremely, extremely, they were overflowing. Klal Yisrael was pouring out with generosity. They were excited. They were looking forward to this. Moshe asked to help out a little bit. Kichumi itchem truma l'Hashem, kol nediv libo. Everybody was willing to contribute, to give a little bit. And next thing you know, there was a rush. There was a major rush. V'yavo kol ish asher neso libo. Everybody joined in. V'chol asher nad varucho. They brought everything they had. V'yavo ha'anoshim al anoshim. Men went to put pressure on their wives to try to get from their wives to also get involved. The women were involved, the men were involved, and some of the children also were involved. Everybody who had the skills, the intelligence, the wisdom, they got involved to do the work. Everybody who had the tools, everybody who had the materials, they got involved to contribute. The women, they were special artisans, that they knew how to do certain malachos. It was amazing what was going on. The Nesiim got involved. Kol ish ve'isha asher nodav libam osam lahavi, and you read the parsha, and you just go. I would say more the highlight reel. You get a superficial read of the parsha. You see the highlight reel. You see this. Everybody's jumping into action. They want to get involved. Everybody's running. Everybody's chasing. Everybody's excited. It wasn't an appeal. He had to get people who were dragging their feet and reluctant, begrudgingly giving money. People were throwing money. They were throwing money at Moshe Rabbeinu. And then he introduced Bezalel. He put on a hard hat. That's why I picture Bezalel put on a hard hat. He took one of the shovels. He introduced Bezalel to the crowd. This guy is going to be in charge of the whole, he's going to be the manager of the whole construction project. And Bezalel had another guy, Aholiyav, big tzaddikim, big, very wise people. They were young. Bezalel was very young. He came out a child. Very wise person, extremely wise person. He knew how to be Mitzarif Osios. He knew how to do some amazing things. Kimat had to create the world. It's amazing what was going on. You read it, it's very impressive. The attitude, the energy, the enthusiasm that Klal Yisrael had. You get towards the end of the process, the middle, the end, it sounds like the end, towards the end. It's the middle, but it's the end. And something strange, something interesting happens. Something very interesting happened. So all the wise people who were involved in the project, they took a break from their work and they decided they have to approach Moshe Rabbeinu. They had to tell him something, what was going on. But Yomur al Moshe Lemur, this is a strange, notice this. You should notice this when it says Lemur. Lemur means Hashem tells Moshe Lemur to tell the people. Here, the people told Moshe Lemur. It's a very strange expression that's not commonly used. The people told Moshe Lemur. Lemur to who? To the people. But the people were talking. The people told Moshe to tell. Tell who? Yomro Moshe Lemor, Marbim Ha'om La'avi. They're acting way too fast. We got to slow down this fundraiser. The fundraiser is surpassing all of our expectations. They're Marbim Ha'om La'avi Mide Ha'avoda Malacha Asher Tziva Hashem La'asos Osa. Hashem gave a quota. Hashem needed us to have a construction project, and there was a certain fundraising amount, a goal that they were trying to reach. We surpassed the goal. We're in the bonus round now. We're in the bonus round. So this sounds like a yontif. It sounds like a simcha. We're in the bonus round. Amazing. So change it from 10 million to 15 million. Just raise the bar. Vayitzav Moshe. Vayaviru kol b'machane. Very strange expression. Vayaviru kol. He sent out a declaration. He was machriz. He didn't just say. He made a big announcement. A major announcement. To say, Ish ve'isha ve'isha al yasu od malacha. That's it. We're done. Stop. Everybody stop. Vayikol le'ha'om me'avi. Stop ringing. And they stopped. Enough. Enough. Some of the mafarshim ask, it's never enough to give to give to the Rabbanu Shalom. It's never enough. No quota. Quota to give. You're going to make a fundraiser for yeshiva. Somebody's going to tell you to stop. Don't stop. You give more. Figure it out. Don't worry. If our pockets are too deep, we'll sew bigger pockets. We'll work it out. We'll figure it out. Vamalacha hoisa dayam, the malacha was sufficient. L'chol ha-malacha, it's straight. Malacha's words used a couple too many times. If you pay attention, they told him it's too much. Ha-avoda la-malacha. He said, stop doing the malacha. Vamalacha hoisa dayam l'chol ha-malacha. Rashi's kvetching. Rashi's having a hard time. If you read Rashi on this pasuk, Dushnai Mikra, it's going to take you a couple minutes to understand what Rashi's doing on this pasuk. Vamalacha hoisa dayam l'chol ha-malacha. The malacha was too much for the malacha. Very complicated expression. The malacha was too much for the malacha. But it was enough. The malacha was enough for the malacha, vehoser, and it was too much. You gotta make a decision. It was enough or it was too much. So first they tell him it's too much, and then Moshe says stop, and then it was enough, and it was too much. Very complicated. What's the Torah describing here exactly? What's the Torah telling us exactly? And then the Torah complains about one group of people. Everybody was doing an amazing job. Everybody on a fundraising level, everybody was contributing, surpassing all the expectations. Except one group the Torah is not happy about. The Torah is a little bit disappointed, and it expresses its disappointment. V'anisiyim, the leaders, the Nisiyim. Nisiyim, the people you would expect the most out of, the people who are supposed to lead the troops, the people that we're supposed to learn from. V'anisiyim, heviu es avnei hashoham ves avnei hamiluim. So I would have thought that's the highlight. That's the most important thing. They brought the avnei maluim. They brought the avnei hashoham. The mon, the Medrash says, the mon was raining down gems. They brought these gems that were just raining down with the mon. And the Nisiyim, they got these gems. The avnei hashoham, the avnei maluim. I would have thought that's amazing. But the Chazal pick up that the word Nisiyim, missing a couple letters. So why is Nisiyim missing a couple yuds? Missing a couple yuds, spelled without yud. HaNisiyim, just nun, sin, aleph, mem. There's no yuds. Chazal noticed that. They paid attention. And they noticed that. Amar binasan, ma ro Nisiyim lehis nadev b'chanukas ha-mizbeach b'tchila u'b'malachas ha-mishkan lois nadvu b'tchila. So when they brought the korbanos, they were the first ones to contribute. But here it wasn't like that. What happened? Kach amru nisiyim. They said, yisnadvu tzibur mashem yisnadvim. Let everybody contribute whatever they can. U'mashem echasrin anu mashlim and also. And whatever's left over, we'll clean up, we'll finish. These are the matches. They wanted to be the... I thought this was a major compliment. When I saw this Rashi, every year I see this Rashi, I thought this is a major... I would have thought this is the goal. If a guy calls you up and he says, listen, go fundraise, make a major fundraiser, and whatever is left over, I got you. Don't worry, there's not going to be anything missing. I'll take care of the end. That's my best, that's the best donor. I can't even dream of such a good donor. I just got to do a little hishtadlis, and then if there's 800 grand left, $8 million left, you'll clean up? I'll clean up, no problem. I would have thought that's the best guy. Your Baruch Shalom's not like us. Kevon sheishlimu tzibur es hakol. Klai Yisrael brought everything. Amru Nisim, they said, we have a problem. Ma aleinu lasas. What do we do now? Heviu es avnei hashom. Ulefi shen es atzlu mitchila. And since they weren't running, since they weren't as enthusiastic as the rest of Klal Yisrael, Nechsera Os Mishmam, Hashem took away letter from their name. It's a taina. He had a taina on there. And I would have thought it's almost the opposite. I would have thought that this is the best attitude, this is the best approach. That if you really want to take care of somebody, of something, of a project that's going on, what do you promise? What's your grant? Your grant is everything. You see, let the peasants give a little. When the peasants are done giving a little, I'll make sure that your fundraiser, that your project, that your construction project, I'll make sure it's taken care of. That's the best donor. I would have thought that's the best donor. So I'll tell you something, but a little bit of Akdama to what I want to say. A couple Akdamas. The first Akdama is the last week. I call it 2 weeks, really, because it started from JB. It was a week, but it was a week plus JB. That's like 2 weeks. So the last week or week and change, 2 weeks, at this matzav began, my thoughts have been altered. I feel like I'm speaking to a different crowd, and I value that. I enjoy that. I appreciate that. I think there's something very significant, very valuable, very, very exciting about that. I think this is an exciting venture, a new venture, exciting venture. And my mind is thinking about different things that maybe I normally wouldn't be thinking about. And I'm thinking about things that are a little bit more. It's not asking for the standard. It's asking for a little bit more. But more is not always easy to talk about. More, I find, is very nuanced. Sophisticated people who appreciate more, they can appreciate nuances. When you experience growth in yeshiva, your first steps of growth are very easy to notice because they're major steps of growth, major changes. But when you become a person of growth, the changes are very subtle. And subtle changes are very nuanced. So when you talk to a crowd that is extremely growth-oriented, the messages have to be very nuanced. And a person needs to be a little bit more sophisticated to understand more of a nuanced message. And it puts a wonderful pressure that I'm very excited about to try to produce more refined messages. And I want to share with you what I think is a very refined message. That was the first Akdama. The second Akdama is that one of the guys reminded me, he said, It's Vayakel. This is your parsha. It's not my birthday. I don't know what he meant, my parsha. He said, this is your pasuk. Your pasuk's in this parsha. Now, this parsha has a bad reputation because this parsha, people, you get bored of very easily, this parsha. I didn't know what that meant. My pasuk's in this parsha. Which amount of what chelitz vargamon that they're donating is my pasuk? But then I remembered what he was saying. A couple of years ago, I have this amazing thing in the summer. Amazing thing. Again, I don't know how to call things. I don't know names of things. I have an amazing thing. This is an amazing thing here, what we do here. To give it a title, it only belittles it. I have an amazing thing in the summer. To give it a title, I hold belittles it. It's an amazing thing. And it started as a one summer thing. It started during COVID. COVID, it was an accident. It was an accident, is Gematria Hashem did. So it was supposed to be just one time and never again. But then they decided to have it again. So we went to a place called Camp Masora the second summer, and they gave us a building. There was a major building built there, beautiful building built there. What was that building used for before? I have no idea. But that building they gave to us, and they said, this is your building. A building that came out 150 people comfortably, 150 comfortably, gorgeous, nicest building on the whole campus, I think. And they said, this is your building. Now you do what you want with it. Unbelievable. But sometimes you get to a building and there's writing on the wall. And when there's writing on the wall, the writing doesn't happen by accident. The Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world. So on the outside of the building, there's big words. It says, V'yaviru kol b'machane. Parshas Vayakel. V'yaviru kol b'machane. That's our sugya. That's what we're learning today. That Moshe Rabbeinu said, stop donating. It's enough donations. Strange pasuk. Who writes a pasuk on a beautiful building that says stop donating? They announced, they sent out b'machaneh. It's a camp, I guess. Vayaviru kol b'machaneh. Enough donations. I was trying to wrap my head around that. I couldn't figure it out. I didn't understand who wrote this. But some kids wrote it. I don't know. The camp tasked them 30 years ago to write a pasuk, and a kid opened up a Chamisha Chumshi Torah, he found the pasuk. But Yavir called him out, and he decided to write. What's this pasuk? But if there's writing on the wall, the kid didn't write it. The kid maybe he put the ink on paper, but the Rabbi Shalom wrote it. So I want to tell you something. There's a mistake here. When you read the parsha, that's not what the pasuk means. It's a major mistake. Major mistake. If you read the psukim, it says, that we read it a second ago, by Yomer el Moshe, they told Moshe, they're bringing too much. Next pasuk, he made a big announcement, a declaration, al yasu od malacha, enough, stop donating the stuff, you did enough. Ba'malacha hisadayam, they had enough, and it was too much. A very clear psukim. That's not what it means. The Gemara in Shabbos says that this doesn't mean what we think it means. Ask the Gemara in Shabbos, what's the source that's an isser to be motzi mirshus l'rishus? You can't carry on Shabbos from rishus l'yachid to rishus l'rabin. Where do we know that from? So Tosfos gets angry. Tosfos says, what do you mean, where do we know that from? Where do we know all the malachas from? All the malachas we learn out from the Mishkan. There's no pasuk that says explicitly any malacha. In the beginning of the parasha, but that's there's a reason for that. But besides for Lo Savaru Eish, there's no malacha that's explicitly mentioned. It's malacha is a mishkan, whatever it is. So Tosfos gets upset at the Gemara, but the Gemara asks, what's the source that there's a malacha called Otsah? Answers the Gemara, this pasuk. By Itzav Moshe, v'yaviru kol b'machin elemor, ish v'isha al yasu od malacha. Where does it say anything? What this pasuk's talking about? Donations. So the Gemara asks that. So there's, you have to learn the Rishon, the Raf, the Rambam. It's very hard to learn the Gemara, so they have a different gear set. They don't have this Gemara. But Rashi has the Gemara Kipshuto. And the Gemara says, what are you talking about? That pasuk's talking about stopping to bring donations. And then the Gemara brings a Gzer Shava. It says, no. That's what it sounds like it's talking about. It's not what it's talking about. It's talking about an Isser to carry from Rishus Yachid, Rishus Arabim, and vice versa. So then what does Psukim say? You look at the Psukim, it's absolutely confusing. They told Moshe, they're bringing too much stuff. Moshe said, big announcement, us are to carry on Shabbos. Oh, and then there was a lot of stuff. What's going on here? It's just, there's no flow, there's no story. There's very confusing story. So I'll tell you what I think. I'll tell you think because the writing's on the wall. The writing's on the wall, there has to be something going on over here. So there's a famous question asked. Famous means everybody asks the question, you all ask the question. That when you give tzedakah, you put tzedakah in a pushka. A guy walks around in the morning, he collects tzedakah. When you go to the bima and you put a shekel into the tzedakah box, everybody's curious. You should be curious. Are you mekayim the mitzvah of tzedakah when you put in the pushka? There's no poor person that lives in the pushka. It's a pushka. So I put in the pushka. So kilu, if you, God forbid, if a guy drops dead after you put the money in the pushka, do you have a mitzvah of tzedakah? Because it never got to, it didn't get to the ani yet. The poor person doesn't have the money yet. So that everybody wonders, everybody talks about. You could look it up. But I was always bothered by a second question. When it gets to the poor person, I never understood. It was always a mystery to me. When it gets to the poor person, then for sure, nobody's going to tell you don't get the mitzvah tzedakah, except for me. I never understood why that's a mitzvah tzedakah. Poor guy comes to me, I give him a dollar, I have a mitzvah tzedakah. For what? Nothing changed. His life didn't change. He's still walking around naked and hungry. But now he has a dollar in his hand, naked and hungry. So what? Okay, maybe he could cover himself up a little bit. But the mice is still naked and hungry. So what did I give him? I gave him nothing. I thought it should be that when he buys a pair of socks, then I get my mitzvah. When he buys a bagel, then I get my mitzvah. But when he's holding a dollar bill, what do I do for him? I do it. So you can tell me some kind of psychological emotion, you can get it like a liberal fart. Emotionally, he feels good. I don't know, that doesn't do it for me. But Lamaisis, I'm wrong. What I'm saying is not true. You have a mitzvah stuck. I don't understand why. You didn't do anything for him. What'd you do? The guy's still, forgive me, naked and hungry. So I think this attitude is because our impression, our understanding of impacting people, impacting ourselves, impacting the world is very skewed. I've said this before, I don't know if in this type of forum, but I've said this before to the guys who know me well. There's two very different attitudes about giving in Klai Yisrael. There's the Sfardim and Ashkenazim. you go to Ashkenaz house, and a very nice Ashkenazi mother, she comes over to you, a very nice woman, she says, oh, you're hungry, and you're raised in a nice Ashkenazi home, and your mother always told you, you know, don't, it's not nice to take from other people. So she's playing a game, and you play the game, and she plays the game, she says, oh, can I offer you something? And then you're starving, but you're like, oh, I don't know, I feel bad, I feel awkward. You're like, no, thank you. She's like, oh, no, thank you, okay. If you're hungry, let me know. You're not going to let her know, because it's a game, the whole thing's a game. That's Ashkenazi, that's the Ashkenazi attitude to giving. Sephardim, nobody asks you any questions. The Sephardi lady comes at you, charges with a plate of food, with a platter, with the whole fridge comes out. Everything comes out. She's cooking up, Hashem knows what over there. Already, there's rice coming out. There's all these kinds of kibbeh. I don't even know what that stuff's. Cigars are flying around. She's just giving. And you're like, lady, I'm not hungry. She said, nobody asked you if you're hungry. Nobody asked if you're hungry. You're going to eat. You sit down, you eat. And that's how Sephardi give. That's how Sephardi give. So I was just, when I sat Shiva a couple months ago for my mother, we got a call from one of the parents called up the local rabbi. It happens to be the Chabad rabbi who was doing the groundbreaking a few weeks ago. That same Chabad rabbi, they called him up and they asked him, who's organizing the food? You know, it's a nice thing to send food to a Shiva house. I'll do Monday, you do Tuesday, we'll send dinner, we'll send lunch, work it out. Have a nice Google form and everybody signs up. Very nice thing. So nobody, the rabbi didn't know. He came to me and said, who's setting it up? And I come not from Sephardim, but for sure not from Ashkenazim. I come from something called Carpathians. If you don't know, you can't, it'll take days for me to explain what this means. But it's traditional Jews. It means Jews that practice things from Har Sinai, but they're not so familiar with most of Judaism. But everything they do is from Har Sinai. They're very traditional, but not very knowledgeable. They didn't grow up with learning. Learning is distant from them. A lot of mitzvahs they just never heard of. But they're very, very holy people. Very holy people. So I told the rabbi, I said, do me a favor, tell the kids' parents, or whatever the parents that want to help out, I appreciate it tremendously. There's no organizing by this kind of Shiva house. There's no Google Doc over here. There's people who bring. There's people come and they bring. One night, you have 7 dinners. Another day, you have 14 lunches. Where does the food go? Nobody cares. Nobody cares. But how do you show up without bringing something? You're going to show, and you're not going to show and bring like a chocolate, like a bottle of wine. You know, these are Americans. That's assimilated culture to bring a nice bottle of wine. Real Har Sinai Dika Yidin, they come. How many people? 8. Lunch for 27. They're going to bring lunch for like triple the amount of people here. Nobody asked you to bring, but how do you come without bringing? There's Jews that are suffering, having a hard time. People are sitting here. You bring. You ask, you don't ask. You bring. It's an attitude. It's a major difference between trying to reach a goal. I think this assimilated attitude is a Google Doc is like, we have to reach a goal. Make sure there's a lunch, there's a dinner for 6 people, not more, precise, exactly, 6 sandwiches, 6 cans of soda, 6 little cute desserts, and done. Your Google Doc is fine. Or you believe in a cause. There's something here you're passionate about. There's people here that I love, that I care a lot about. I want to take care of them. Beshefa with bracha, I want to take care of them. I think about them, it's meaningful to me, it's important to me, it's my value, I'm passionate about it, I'm excited about it. They're very different. It's not the same maisa, it's not the same maisa tzedaka. One maisa is maisa tzedaka, you're reaching a goal, $1 million, you give, oh, how many people are donating, 2,647 divided by, a million divided by that number, that means my share is going to be $48.67, but there's 3 matchers, divided by 4, and then I have to give $16.23, I gave my share. Beautiful, you want to get to a million, beautiful. You don't believe in the cause. That's not a cause you believe in. Cause you believe in, you come b'shefa, with everything you got, according to your financial means, whatever you could afford, you come b'shefa. I learned also when I sat Shiva, I didn't know this, forgive me, I'm like a naive person, I didn't know this. I thought when you sit Shiva, people come and they pay a Shiva call. That's what I thought, that's what I did, that's what I used to do. And then I learned from this community of real Jews from Har Sinai, what I call them, who are not so familiar with halacha. They don't know the halacha. They don't know. You come, you pay your shiva call, and then you never see the person again. Every day they came. These people came every day. They sat every day. They brought every day. I said, you came yesterday. But they believe in the cause. This is important to them. These are people they care about. So when I came yesterday, kids, I came yesterday. B'shefa, v'hoser. I'm not going to be just until maspik dayam. Everything's, my life is v'hoser because I believe in the cause. Sometimes you hear, I overhear, you know, sometimes the chaver talks in the outside in the chatzer, whatever that place is called. Outside, you're talking, and I don't know, my imagination tells me, I have funny stories going on in my head when I see guys talking on the phone outside. And I sometimes wonder, it happened maybe one time I wonder, a few times I wonder, how many people are on the phone with their grandmother right now? Because your mom told you, did you call grandma? You called grandma this week? And you're like, I didn't call grandma this week. You called grandma. You called grandma. And then your mom says, you know, you called her on Sunday, and then she tells you on Wednesday, you called grandma? You say, yeah, I called her this week. I called her Sunday. You called grandma on Sunday? Your parents, I don't want to talk about. Your parents is going to be causing me too much pain to talk about. But your grandparents. Your grandparents, you called on Sunday. I called already grandma on Sunday. On Sunday, I made my phone call. You know, let grandma, you know, sit in her lonely, God knows where she is. I'm going to call next Sunday. I'm going to do my 12-minute phone call. Hi, grandma. How you doing? How you feeling? How's your back? You know, how's the shuffleboard game? And then have a good day. Have a good week. I'll talk to you next week, grandma. I call grandma. You care about grandma? You're thinking about grandma? The fact that grandma's maybe a little lonely means something? You believe in the cause? You believe in something? You're connected? You're passionate? You want that? It's meaningful to you? Well, no, it's not. You got to cover your base. So I want to learn a Gemara. We're going to learn a Gemara. It's not going to be long. It's an amazing Gemara. Amar le Bar Heihei. Bar Heihei, Tosu says, was a ger. His name was Bar Heihei because Avram and Sarah, when they converted, Ki'ilu converted, Hashem added a hey to each of their names. Avram became Avraham, Sarai became Sarah. So Bar Heihei is the son of the Heis. He's a ger, Tosu says. Cool name, very cool name. He said to Hillel, my dichsiv is a pasuk that says, "Vishavtim or isin bein tzaddik and rasha." You'll see a difference between a tzaddik and a rasha, bein oved alokim la'asher lo avadom, between a person who works for their bonus shalom and a person who doesn't work for their bonus shalom. So the ger asked Hillel. He said, "Hainu tzaddik, hainu oved alokim, hainu rasha, hainu lo avadom." It's a redundant pasuk. The pasuk says the same thing twice. It says you'll see the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. A person who worships God and doesn't worship God. That's redundant. That's the same thing twice. The ger asked Hillel. Amar le, Hillel said, Avado velo avado. When the pasuk has the second phrase of Avado velo avado, Tavayu tzadiki gemuri ninu. Those guys are both tzadikim. The first part, tzadik versus Rasha. Okay, Rasha's out. The sfex fake is top test. Tzadik versus Rasha. Rasha's out. In tzadik, the two tzaddikim gemurim, two kinds of tzaddikim gemurim. One is avado, one is oved Hashem, and one is lo avado. One is not oved Hashem. The eno dome, you can't compare shone pirko mea pa'amim l'shone pirko mea ve'echa. You can't compare a person who learns 100 times to a person who learns 101 times. Most people stop the gemara there, but don't stop the gemara there. Amr lei. Because of that one time he's called that he wasn't over Elohim. He did 100, he did 101. That one time, we don't differentiate between 98 and 99. How come 100 and 101 we're differentiating? Listen to his teretz. Gavaldika teretz. Amr le'im. He said, yeah. Say lomad mishuk shel chamorin. He said, go look at the Uber drivers. Go look at the Uber drivers. Asara parsa bezuzi. If you're going 10 miles, you got to pay whatever it is, 50 bucks, 100 bucks. Chadasar parsa, but once you cross that threshold, the next increment, trezuzi. It doesn't go that exactly, they have a precise number, how it adds up. They have, when you hit 10 miles, you pay 50 bucks. But when you hit the 11th mile, it's already 100 bucks. For that one increment, you went to the next level. You entered into the next increment. And what happens when you enter into the next increment? You get paid double. 100 and 101 is not the same schar plus one. Says the Hillel, 100 and 101 is double schar. The one time you learn on top of the 100, it's you learned ki'ilu 200. You get paid, like the Uber driver get paid, for the extra mile into the next increment. Because a different service. One guy who's serving Hashem is fulfilling his responsibilities, like the Gemara said, tzaddik gomer, no complaints, clean. Tzaddik gomer, you do that, you feel great, you should feel like a champ. You walk into the next world, Hashem's going to shower you with gifts. Hashem's going to shower you and praise you. They'll put you on a pedestal. They're going to worship you in the next world. A tzaddik gomer. You learned 100 times, a tzaddik gomer. But if you learned 101 times, I'll tell you what happens. When you learn 101 times, you're becoming a new creation. Because Moshe's calling out. It's amazing what he does here. It's amazing. He calls out. He says, you're telling me they brought too much? You're not letting it carry on Shabbos. That's his answer. You tell me they brought too much, you now let it carry on Shabbos. What's he telling them? He's telling them, you already built the Mishkan. You carried. When you carried all your stuff and you brought it here, that's the building of the Mishkan. You built the whole Mishkan. You guys didn't bring the donations, the service that now we could start based on all the materials that you supplied to now start building the Mishkan. You built the Mishkan. You gave already the money to the Ani. The money now is sitting in the hands of the poor person. Forget before he buys the socks and the food. You already built it. You built the guy. You built the whole guy. The Mishkan's built. It's finished. How do I know? Hotzah is a malacha. Taking something out of yourself and putting it somewhere else. That's a malacha. Before this, it's a malacha grua. I would have never thought in my life, hotzah is a malacha. I didn't change anything. He says, hotzah is a creation. It's a malacha. When you take something out of yourself, you're creating. You're creating other people. It's a groundbreaking event. You're creating buildings and yeshivas and mikvos and structures. And what are you building the biggest? You're building yourself. Because when you do something 100 times, you're fulfilling a quota. You're involved in a fundraiser. You got to the $1 million and you gave your fair share. But if you go me'av echad, you're building a new creation. The new creation is yourself. You've changed. You've been impacted. The guy you were yesterday is not a guy today who also learned 100. The guy you were yesterday is not a guy who also gave tchelis v'argamon and sold some parochas for the Mishkan. The guy you gave yesterday is a new guy. So the Nesiim show up and the Nesiim say, we'll take care of it. Let everybody give whatever they can give. We'll clean up. We'll get you to the quota. That's the worst thing. You don't chop what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to build a Mishkan over here. Mishkan has nothing to do with quotas. You know why we built the Mishkan? Because once it got, says the Pasuk, V'hamalacha ha'isadayim, the malacha was exactly what they needed it to be. Why? V'hoser, because it was too much. When it became too much, that's when it became exactly what they needed. You think they needed a certain amount? The Nesiim understood that they needed to get to a quota? Hashem says, you misunderstood the whole project. It's not the project we're doing. This is a project that we're trying to be impacted. We're trying to change. When you give yourself to a cause, when you really give yourself to a cause, that's when you change. You know, we have in recent days, people are talking about the chesed and yeshiva. I don't believe in this. This is not my religion. It's not my religion. Forced religion. There's some guys, I heard some guys in the dorms force guys to wake up. You force guys to do chesed. You force guys to clean up. You force guys to do this. You pressure guys. You guilt guys. Somebody from the outside needs to tell you that you want to develop, that you want to be impacted. Somebody from the outside, the most he can do to tell you is tell you, do a behavior. Bring a dollar. Give a quota. Try to get to a goal. That's somebody can force you to do. A lot of guilt, a lot of pressure. For sure you can do. I don't want you to give a dollar. Nobody's interested in your dollar. I want you. I want you to develop. I want you to change. I can yell and scream all day, all night, for years. Help out, give, join, contribute. It's not going to change a kihuzeh. Maybe after yeshiva we'll talk like that. After yeshiva we say expressions like that. We just got to get, we got to garner the troops. We got to get people to get involved. We have things we need to accomplish, so we need people to get involved. That's not yeshiva. That's not yeshiva. Yeshiva doesn't work like that. Yeshiva is a place of growth, of change, that we're impacted. We develop. How do you develop? It's your cause. This is my cause. I don't need a guy to clap and say, now it's time, everybody put away the svarim. Now it's time, everybody clean up. Now it's time. Leave the guy alone. Tell the guy, sit down. Nobody needs your announcements. A guy stands up after a mincha, he puts away a sitter. You put away 10 sitters. You put away 20 sitters. You put away 50 sitters. This is your cause. This is your life. This is what you believe in. This is what we're changing. We're impacting us, the yeshiva, the world. Because it's us. Hotzah is a malacha. When you bring things out of yourself, that's a malacha. That itself, by itself, is a malacha. You don't need a ktsira and a kshira and a binyan and a kosev. Those are clear. Those are clear. That's not nuanced. That's very visible. That's clear to see that's malacha. What's a very subtle malacha? A malacha grua, they call it. Hotzah. A malacha grua. Very nuanced malach. Very fine malach. For fine, nuanced people. Is hotzah. Hotzah means, I'm going to take from a rishus yachid and put in rishus a rabbi. I'm going to change. I'm going to impact. And it's not going to be noticeable. But I'm not the same person. I was shown at Pirko, mea palmim ve'echor. But that echor, that was another 100. That echor is kafu, it's double. Forget schar. Forget schar. There's something much more valuable than schar. Your life. Your life is much more valuable than schar. Your character is much more valuable than schar. Your future, much more valuable than schar. Your success is much more valuable than schar. That's mei apam and ve'echad. That's not forced. That's not pressured. That's Klal Yisrael ran to give. Ran to give. And the Nesiim didn't get the message. But we're like Klal Yisrael. We're learning from Klal Yisrael. Mirz Hashem, from this chabura, this matzah that we have, this matzah that we had, I understood in hindsight that when they put on the wall the Aviru Kol B'machane, they were telling me, they were telling us over there where I am in the summers, and here that I experience here also, telling us, Aviru Haitzah is a malacha. Some kid in who knows what year opened a chumash and on a wall painted a huge pasuk. Hotzah is a malacha. Guys, don't forget, hotzah is a malacha. But if you give yourself, you're going to impact everything around you. And that's like my slogan for the summer, for sure. You give yourself, you impact everything around you. And that's what yeshiva is. You give yourself, you impact everything around you. And one of the most important things of everything around you is you. You want to be impacted? Mevech. Mevech. It's Hashem. Hashem should help us to get to that. Should have a good Shabbos.